Hi, everybody. My name is Heidi Meyer. I'm a PhD candidate at Penn State University, and I'm excited to share the results from a three-year research study with you today about planting green, or delayed cover crop termination, as a tool for soil conservation, water management, and integrated pest management. And before I start, I want to say that this research was generously funded by a Northeast SARE grant. So farming in Pennsylvania is pretty challenging. We have rolling hills, a lot of hillside farming. We're in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, so farming practices are constantly under scrutiny. We also have a fairly short growing season due to our latitude, and we have a lot of dairies, so the cropping system, in order to provide feed and forage for the cows, is pretty limited. But farmers always find a way to meet these challenges head on. One of those ways, of course, is reduced tillage for soil conservation, the addition of cover crops, and now further planting green to get even more out of our cover crops. So planting green is when farmers delay cover crop termination until planting or within a few days after, instead of the typical practice of killing the cover crop with a herbicide about 2 weeks before planting in our region. I know it's there's a longer delay between termination and cash crop planting in the Midwest and drier areas. A 2013 survey of the Pennsylvania No-Till Alliance, which is a farmer group that's really passionate about soil health and soil conservation, revealed that about a third of the respondents were already doing this planting green practice. So these are hardcore no-tillers that already cover crop. So they're planting green for soil conservation, first and foremost, soil health. So by allowing the cover crop to grow for an additional approximately 2 weeks in the spring, they can have a living root system in the ground for longer, and the cover crop can hopefully accumulate more biomass and provide more cover for later in the growing season, so preventing that raindrop impact with the soil, reducing erosion. Secondly, soil water management. So we have typically pretty wet springs and droughty summers in Pennsylvania, and with no tillage and cover crops, we run into the issues of cool, wet soil, so delayed cash crop planting. And if a farmer tries to push that and plant too early, you can see a picture here. This soybean is experiencing what we call hairpinning, or when the residue is pushed into the furrow with the cash crop and it prevents good establishment. And finally, we have a unique pest problem in Pennsylvania due to the cool, wet springs, and that is slugs. Slugs are a mollusk. They're defoliators, as you can see in these pictures. They affect both soybeans and corn, as well as canola and alfalfa. They also feed on the seed. However, the best way to manage them is through tillage. With our hardcore no-tillers, that's not an option. There's also molluscicide slug baits, but they're relatively expensive and don't always work. So farmers are planting green in order to produce more biomass, provide habitat for beneficial predators that will eat those slugs, and also provide alternative forage for the slugs so they have a living green plant besides the cash crop to eat. And I put the asterisk there because it's not the main reason in Pennsylvania why farmers do it, but we've heard from farmers in the Midwest who are growing more biomass through planting green in order to help control their weeds by using the cover crop as a smother. So this hasn't really been researched in our area of the country before, so we wanted to quantify some of this anecdotal evidence that we have from farmers, so we formed a research study. And our hypotheses were as follows. First of all, delaying cover crop termination, or planting green, would increase soil residue cover, reduce soil moisture and temperature in the spring, and conserve soil moisture later in the growing season. Secondly, we hypothesized that planting green would increase beneficial arthropod populations and reduce slug and pest herbivory on cash crops due to the alternative forage and increased predator populations. And lastly, we hypothesized that there would be no effect on cash crop yield when we planted green. Now, we wanted to evaluate this in a number of different locations with a number of different equipment and under different farmer management. So we had five sites in Pennsylvania. Three of those were farmer cooperators, large field scale experiments, and then 2 Penn State research farms with smaller plots. So we did this with both corn and soybeans with our first rye cover crop seeded in 2014, and then we evaluated the cash crops in 2015, 16, and 17. I'm mostly going to focus on the data from 15 and 16 today. And our treatments were either early killed rye, which was terminated with a herbicide 1 to 3 weeks before planting, depending on weather conditions and farm manager discretion, or planted green when the rye was killed after planting with a herbicide, sometimes paired with a roller crimper, depending on the equipment available to the farmers or farm managers. I should note that both cash crops in both treatments, so early killed or planted green, were planted at the same time. And no neonicotinoid seed treatments were used on soybeans or corn in order to protect our slug predators. So previous research shows that if a slug consumes a seed that has a neonic seed treatment on it, the slug is not affected because it's a mollusk, not an insect. But then the predator that eats that slug that has consumed the neonicotinoid will then be killed. So we wanted to really foster our beneficials, so we didn't put any neonic seed treatments on. The experimental design was randomized complete block with 4 replications at all locations. And then a mixed model was used with repeated measures analysis as appropriate. So we measured cover crop biomass at each termination time, residue cover estimates using the NRCS point transect method, and those 2 were used as a proxy for soil conservation. We also measured soil moisture and temperature to 8 centimeter depth throughout the growing season, slug activity density throughout the growing season, beneficial arthropod activity density and predation 3 times each summer, and then insect and slug injury to cash crops. So we're looking at the whole system and how planting green is affecting it. So before I get into my results, I should note that anything that appears in green in the figures, that was the planted green treatment. Anything that appears in brown was the early terminated treatment, and asterisks indicate a significance at the 0.05 level. So first, to see whether farmers are improving soil conservation through planting green, we measured biomass, cover crop biomass, and residue cover, and we found that planting green can double cover crop biomass and increase residue cover for at least 3 weeks after cash crop planting. Sometimes that residue cover difference lasts throughout the whole growing season. With some of the crops we just harvested this year, you can still see the difference between the treatments. And I should also note for each of these results, a representative site year is shown. So we are generalizing across the experiment because this was seen at all locations, but the difference between the treatments was, the magnitude of the difference depended on the difference in biomass accumulated at each location. So yes, these data support our hypothesis that soil conservation was increased when we planted green. So secondly, looking at soil water management, we can conclude that planting green did dry soil at planting and conserve soil moisture later in the year. So this was at planting. We had a lower soil volumetric water content when we planted green compared to when we killed the cover crop early. And then we had wetter soils later in the summer when we typically have a drought when we planted green. Now this was really good in wet 2016 when we had poor soil conditions at planting. However, in 2015 in a dry spring, it actually was detrimental to us. So this isn't a one-size-fits-all, every year it's going to work type of system. So we were able to mitigate this hairpinning issue in certain site years. And one caveat with increased cover crop biomass and kind of a common sense statement here is that we had cooler soils when we planted green, when we had more biomass, compared to when we killed the cover crop early. So the y-axis here is temperature. Planted green treatments were cooler throughout the growing season, and we did see delayed cash crop emergence and a maturity lag that lasted throughout the growing season. So it's not super obvious from this picture, but on the left side we have soybeans that are about a half a leaf stage to a full leaf stage behind those on the right, and this held true for corn as well as soybeans. So these data also supported our hypothesis that we'd have cooler and drier soils early and then wetter soil later in the growing season. So then to look at Planting Green as a tool in the integrated pest management toolbox, we evaluated beneficial arthropod activity density that was only in corn and only at the Rock Springs Penn State Research Farm. So in order to do this, we put pitfall traps out in the corn and left them out for 3 days, and that's just a hole in the ground with a cup, and you see what falls into the cup. We're most interested in ground beetles as they are known predators to slugs, but we also characterized several other types of beneficial arthropods. So this is showing on the y-axis total beneficial arthropods and then the three sampling dates on the x-axis. And we saw that, at least in July of 2015, we saw more beneficials when we planted green compared to when we killed the rye early. However, this was only true in this site year, so there were no difference between treatments in 16 or 17. And that's, I believe, simply because arthropods are so affected by abiotic factors like temperature and rainfall at time of sampling and things like that. So in order to see if our beneficials are actually providing us a service or if they're just present, we did a predation evaluation. So we set out a bait worm, which is shown here, with a ground beetle having a snack. And we set those out three times over the summer and watched them over a 24-hour period to see what was coming to visit the prey. And we found that in 2015, at least in June and July, which is early June or mid-June would be when cash crops are most vulnerable to slug attack, we had higher predation when we planted green compared to when we killed the rye early. So at least in corn, which is the only place where we evaluated this, we saw increased beneficial arthropods, depending on abiotic factors, I should say. So then, in 2015, we had a really dry spring, as I mentioned earlier. So we had basically no slugs and very little slug damage. In 2016, it was wetter, so we had more slugs and therefore more slug damage. We were able to see differences between the treatments. And on the x-axis, we have our five locations. On the y-axis, we have percent of the plants with some type of slug feeding. So we saw a reduction, up to a 50% reduction in slug feeding on soybeans at the cotyledon stage. Conversely, when we did the same analysis with corn, we saw the opposite results. So we saw up to, you know, more than double the slug feeding when we planted green compared to when we killed the cover crop early. And one reason this might be was that at this particular site year, this was a farmer cooperator. He planted a three-way mix, and we think it might have to do something with the species that he used. But at this site, we also did see a yield reduction. So these data somewhat support our hypotheses. At least in soybeans, we saw decreased slug feeding when we planted green. So we also hypothesized that there'd be no impact on cash crop yield. So we saw reduced soybean populations in 2015 when it was really dry, no issue in 2016 with soybean populations, and then we saw no influence on soybean yield in 8 out of 9 site years, except this one with the red asterisks where the rye termination was ineffective due to a misspray by the applicator. However, in corn, just as with soybeans, we had trouble getting good stand establishment in 2015, and we did see a yield reduction that wasn't always associated with reduced populations, so there might be a nitrogen management issue there. In 16, we had better stand establishment, but again, we saw a reduced corn yield at that one site where we had very heavy slug damage that was followed by a drought. And for those of you who are interested in planting green as an integrated weed management tool, we had very low weed densities and weed biomass at 10 weeks after planting in 2015 and 16, but in 2017 we had a weedier site, at least in Rock Springs our field was weedier, and we saw a substantial reduction in weed biomass at 10 weeks after planting when we planted green compared to when we killed the rye early. So, in conclusion, this research supports the anecdotal evidence given to us by farmers that they're getting more out of their cover crops by planting green. We saw increased soil conservation, the benefit of soil water management, and a tool in the IPM toolbox. And just a final note, soybeans, as all agronomists know, are highly plastic, so they were more adaptable to planting green with no influence of the reduced populations on yield, and also the added benefit of reduced slug feeding. And then lastly, corn is promising, but poses more management challenges, as I mentioned. Nitrogen immobilization by the rye cover crop could be an issue, and that should be studied further. Thank you.
Thank you very much.